I know it's already been said, but good morning. God is good. And he'll never let me down. And all the time, God is good. I'm just going to pray. Pray with me. Pray for me. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning. We come before you this morning seeking your word and seeking your guidance and seeking your face, Lord, that your word speaks to us and gives us the strength and the joy and the peace to go forth, Lord, out of this building and into our world. Father, I just pray that your word today gives us encouragement and gives us insight and gives us a new revelation of your glory in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I have a little short word for you this morning. I believe that God has a new word for us this morning. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Mark. And when you get there, just say, hallelujah. And as you're turning there, I know that we're going to put some scriptures on the screen, but I just encourage you to bring a Bible and bring some notes. Sometimes for me, it's hard to remember everything that's said. But if I write it down, or you know how tactile we are, we might remember the place in the Bible that it was said, and the Bible just might bring forth memories. And so I just encourage you to bring that. If you don't have one, talk to me. We can get you one. Amen. In the book of Mark, I'm going to be reading some verses from chapter 11. And how many of you have ever been reading your word and you got like an aha moment, like, whoa, I knew it, but I didn't know it. You know what I mean? Like, I knew that the word said that, but I didn't know it. You all follow me what I'm saying, right? I believe God gave me that aha moment this past week. And I believe that he wants me to share that aha moment with you. Because I believe that it will enlighten you as well as it did me. Amen? In Mark chapter 11, there's something here that the Lord, I think, wants to pull out of us and wants us to fully understand. Amen? I'm going to start reading in chapter 11 in the book of Mark in verse 22. If you have your word, you can follow along, whether it's digital or whether it's on the screen or whether it's paper or papyrus or whatever, however old your word is. And I'm going to start reading 22. Amen? Then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. So I'm going to stop right there and I can say that he's saying to you and me, have faith in God. Amen? Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up, thrown into the sea, and it will happen. I don't want to stop there. I think a lot of us stop there and say, oh, I can pray to this mountain and stop. But then the word then continues and says this, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. And I believe there's two things going on here. And I love testimonies how God works because I believe that it comes from the deep understanding of I know what the word says here. But Jesus continues that and says, not only do you know what the word is, but you must believe it and have no doubt. Amen? So I think there has to be a connect here between our mind knowing that what the word says, but then also making the connection from our mind to our heart to know what the word says and to believe what the word says. Without the wonderful word in the English language called doubt. I'm being sarcastic when I say doubt. It's not wonderful. It's a horrible word. Nowhere in the word tells us to doubt God. Nowhere in the word says to doubt what God says he can do. Amen? And I'm going to continue reading here. It says then, I'll reread 23. It says, I tell you the truth, you could say to the mountain, may be lifted up and thrown into the sea. How many of us have mountains here? I mean, something that's in front of you that you don't think you can climb, you don't think will move out of your way, and sisters, that you don't think ever can get out the way. Well, this word says here, it says, but I tell you the truth, you could say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Verse 24 says, I tell you, you can pray for anything, amen? And it will. And if you believe that you've received it, it is yours. That's right there. We're going to camp on that for a while. If you believe it, if you then believe that you've received it, then by God's word, it says that you will have it. Amen? Amen. This scripture right here, and I was. I don't know if you all know who Lance Wall now is, but if you don't, I encourage you to maybe read some of his stuff or listen to it. It's very, very, very prophetic and very good. In one of his teachings that I was reading, I was listening to, it had nothing really to do with Mark, but he talked about in the world of believers, there's two things that occur, right? There's what's called faith, and I think we all know the definition of faith. We could read it from Hebrews chapter 11. And then there's this thing called mental assent or intellectual assent. And what that is check this out, is knowing what the word says in your head, knowing the facts about the Bible, and it's a head knowledge. I know that this word exists. And the way that I was able to put my mind around that, that was all that really he said about it. I thought, whoa. And as I was listening to him, I was reading Mark 11. Chapter 11, verse 22 through 24. And I was listening to that in the background, and I was reading this verse, and it got to me. It says in Mark 11, verse 22 through 24, it says, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may be lifted up in the sea, and it will happen. It says then, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. So the way that I was able to do this, I could in my mind, the way I wrap around it is this. I know that Nina said something. I know that she said words, and I know what those words said, but I don't have to believe it. You understand? It doesn't have to be true. But I know that she said what she said. You follow me? But does that make it true here? Does that mean I believe that? No. And so there's these two things that have to occur within we talk about the word. There's this knowledge that we have to have about the word, but then we have to connect the dots from our head to our heart and believe it and have no doubt. Amen? And another way I look at it is this, is in the case of healing, for example. I know what the word says, but do I believe it with no doubt? Amen? About finances. I know what the word says about finance. I know that the word says, if you give, you'll receive, pressed down, shaken, and whatever, right? Rolling over. I know that the word says that, but do I believe it in such a way that I'm walking in it? Amen? You see, This is what I think we as Christians need to start to understand, and I think we know some people maybe like this, maybe it's you, maybe it's me, that know what the word says but aren't walking that out in faith. Amen. Faith is taking the word as it is and believing it, and it's a heart matter here. Whereas knowledge is just very simply, I know this stuff. I know what the Bible says. I know what John 3:16 says. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I know it says that, but how many of us in here truly believe that? You see, there's a difference. If you ask a normal person that doesn't go to church, what's John 3:16? Do you think they could repeat some of it to you? Probably. But do they believe it? Here. Do we believe the word here? Do we make the connection from here? I hear the word, right? Faith comes by what?
Hearing
and hearing by the word of God. So we hear the word, whether it be through scripture, whether it be through me or Pastor Calvin or Pastor whoever preaches from the pulpit, whether it be through K-Love Radio, whether it be through 90.9, we hear the word, but are we taking the word from head knowledge and making it a heart knowledge? You know what I mean? That's something that we need to check. We need to check in our own lives. Are we connecting the dots from heart, from head to heart? Amen? The word here says that it's not really an issue of mental knowledge or mental attitude, but it's really a matter of believing in your heart and not having any doubt. My notes are a little bit scattered, so just pray for me that I get it straight. Faith, let's go to James. Let's go to James. Actually, before we go to James, I'm going to read some things from Romans. And you can follow with me if you'd like, Romans. If I can get there. Acts, Romans. We're going to read Romans chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 17, and I'm going to go back and read a different a previous verse from there. I want to say it like this. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ." So what we said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, hearing by Jesus Christ, the word of God. And then if we go up a couple verses and read verses 8 and 9, it says, in fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. It says that this message is the very message about faith that we preach. Verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in where? Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's not enough necessarily to have the head knowledge. It's a little bit more than that to connect the heart and the head together to know and then to know that you know that you know. Amen? It's not just enough to know what the word says. It's enough when you connect what the word says and then you believe and have no doubt. Then, Mark 11, verse 23, you can say to that mountain, move, and it will move to the sea. Amen? Then we can say to those financial issues that we have, you will move because the word of God says you're going to move. Amen? That cancer has to go because the word says it has to go. And I'm not doubting in my heart, and I know in my mind, both together, that the word is true. Therefore, you got to go. You got to go. Amen. Let's go to James. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, I'm going to read about 12 verses. We're going to start in verse 14. It says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? And verse 17 says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. And verse 18 says, now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? He says, I'll show you my faith by my good deeds. Verse 19 says, you say you have faith for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this and they tremble in fear. How foolish. Can't you see the faith without good deeds is useless? I'm going to keep reading. Verse 21, don't you remember that your ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his action when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. Verse 23 says, and so it happened just as the scripture said. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called a friend of God. Verse 24, so you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Now, what I understand here is this. When somebody claims to have faith, what he or she is saying is that I know here. An agreement with a set of Christian teachings. And what I mean by that is when I say from my mouth, when I tell you that I have faith, when somebody says, I have faith in Christ, what they're really telling you at that moment is that I know about the things of Christ. Just that, though, is incomplete, so says the book of James. True faith transforms our conduct as well as our thoughts. So what it means is if our life remains unchanged, we don't truly believe the truths we claim to believe. You follow me? What James here, the book of James is saying, is that if I tell you I believe, do my actions show that I believe? And are they coinciding? Are they intermingling? Because if my actions don't show my belief, then my faith is incomplete. Amen? And that ties back to Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 24. We cannot earn our salvation by serving and obeying God. That would be by action alone. But such actions show our commitment that God is real. The deeds, the good deeds that were talked about of loving service, of giving and doing these things, are not a substitute for, but a verification of our faith in Christ. Amen? True faith always results in a changed life and good deeds. I have a drawing in my notes that says this, my faith leads to action. We have faith in the healing power of Christ, so my action is to speak it out, to walk in it, right? To tell that thing it is, finances, healing, whatever it is, that you don't belong in my body, that you don't belong to be this way, and that you have to get out. My faith then, because I have faith, I then now walk in that as an actionary thing. Amen? The action that I do then is a verification that I truly believe and I have no doubt. When you have faith plus action, now you have complete faith. That's what we're saying. Faith without, so here we go. Faith with action is complete and wise and alive. Faith without action is dead, is death. Action without faith is merely religion and foolish. Amen? The two have to work together. They have to work side by side and co-mingle together. We have to have our faith, and then that stirs our action. Amen? Verse 26 in James says, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. So I believe that what we're being told here in James is this. If breath equals life, right? Then faith has to equal action. Amen? If we have faith, but just sit here and say I have faith, we ain't doing nobody any good. We, the Bible says, are supposed to be God's tools or workmanship to do something. But if we have faith without doing something, it's dead. If we have faith and act upon it, now we're spreading what Jesus said we should spread. Love, healing, casting out demons, all these things. Amen? But action without faith is merely foolishness. Where are you putting your faith then? In myself? In you? In yourself? I believe I can do this by myself. Where is your faith at? In yourself. Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Where's your faith? In God. I believe that faith without action, faith with action is fully alive. And now you can tear down any mountain you want. Any mountain that's in your way, any mountain that is trying to get you down, trying to get you to doubt, trying to get you to worry, trying to get you to be fearful. You can call it out by name, and it will fall into the sea. Faith with action. Action without faith? Where's that power coming from? Faith is the breath of life into action. Into action. The world tells you that knowledge is power. I think we as Christians got it wrong if we agree with that. Knowledge plus faith is power. Amen? It's not just knowledge. If I have just knowledge, I know that the Word says that I can be healed. If I just have knowledge, I know that the Word says this and that and whatever. You can talk about every blessing in the Word. But I just know it. But if I'm not connecting, then I'm not acting. Therefore, I'm not receiving. Amen? Abraham was shown right, was shown to be right with God because he, what? What did he believe? He believed God, but what did he have to do to show his belief in God? See, God told him what? You're going to be a father of many nations. But then God told him, go kill your son. How does that work out? So what do you think? You think Abraham doubted God and said, oh, I don't know what's going to happen when we go up here. I'm going to have to kill you, Isaac. No. He never doubted. He stood on the promise of God and said, you will be the father of many nations. He stood his ground. He said, you know what, God? I know you told me to go up to the mountain to kill my only son, but you know what? I believe you have greater things, and so we're going to go do it. I believe you're not going to have me do this, but I will believe you anyway. I mean, Abraham was not moved by the circumstance that he had to go up and stick a knife in his son. He wasn't moved by that. He wasn't moved by that to say, oh, I don't know if I should go up there. I don't know if I'm really the father of many nations. I don't really know that. He was more moved to do it because he had faith that God was going to provide. Amen? And we know that when he got up there, when he was about to come, smash him down, God said, hey, you don't have to do that. Amen? You don't have to do that. Remember, I gave you promises. Good job. Well done. Well done. Faith without action. He could have believed that God told him the promises and not acted on what God told him to do. Then what happens? His faith is dead because it's not doing anything. He's not walking in the promises. Faith leads to action. Action is the verification of faith. And faith with action equals faith that is complete and faith that is wise. Faith without action is dead. And action without faith is foolish. Good deeds, because of outward motivation, means that if I do something because I know that that person is going to look at me like I'm such a good person, does not mean you have faith. Good deeds by itself are just those good deeds. It's good. I'm happy you did something good. Faith leads to loving God and believing God, which then leads to salvation, which then leads to proper motivation in doing those good deeds, because it comes from the heart and it comes from love, not because you're going to get another $10 from this person or you're not going to get your name in the newspaper, but it comes from a true love that comes from your faith in God. Amen? Knowing what the word says is not evidence that you believe what the word says. And I think that's evident if we go outside these four walls and ask any random person what the word says about certain things. There are a couple TV shows that do that. I know some news channels have some things where they go out and ask, hey, what do you think about this in the Bible? What do you think about this in the Bible? And they know what the Bible says. Or what does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about this? And they know what the Bible says. But knowing what the Bible says doesn't mean that you believe what the Bible says. When you believe what the Word says, when you do what Jesus had said, right? You know what the Word says. You believe in your heart and have no doubt. Circumstances around whatever's happening does not change the way you believe. If I know that God is the healer of all things, if I know that God is my provider and that we shall not be in lack, if I allow my circumstance to overshadow my belief that I'm being moved without faith rather than having faith move me. Amen? If you allow your circumstance of not having money at the moment move you into being fearful about what it is you're doing, then you're allowing the circumstance to move you rather than allowing faith that God is your provider to move you. The circumstances cannot change what you know. Circumstances can change what you know about a situation, but it cannot change what you believe. We bring up all the time that our son Jacob had a mass in his lung when he was about, 5 months, 6 months, right? And that was some crazy knowledge that we got. And I'm sure many of us have been in similar situations. It's crazy to know, like, whoa, that's crazy. If we let the circumstance move us into being fearful, we're out now of faith. We're out of faith. We're now going to be acting out of emotion and, oh my gosh. But if we believe, if we know what the Word of God says, and we believe and don't doubt what the Word says, then we don't let this thing here move us. We move the thing. And that's what the Word says, right? If you know and you believe without doubting, you can say to the mountain, get up and move. So we spoke to that thing. We knew in our mind, we knew in our heart, and we believed in our heart, you get up, get out of that, and it's done. The Word says in Mark, it says that if you believe in your heart and you don't doubt, that you can say, and it will be yours. Let's turn to the book of Psalms. Are you hearing what the Lord says this morning? Yeah. Let's go to Psalm chapter 42. Amen. Amen. Psalm chapter 42, and I'm going to go to verse 11. The authors here are saying, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Hope in the Lord, He is your help. Right? Why are you so discouraged? Why are you depressed? Why are you fearful? The Word of the Lord is telling you, why are you these things? Because the Word and faith in God says that you don't have to be those things. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to have whatever it is you want to talk about. Why am I so discouraged? It says, why is my heart so sad? I don't know. I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Your body, He is your help. Amen? He is your help. You have to say body or finances or whatever it is. Brother, sister, whatever it is. You have to align with the Word. Situation, you have to align with what the Word says. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance must align with the Word of God. If it's contrary to the Word of God, then it's off. It's not from God. Therefore, you need to call it to align with the Word of God and say, hey, sickness, the Word says that I'm healed. I know what the Word says. I have to believe in my heart what the Word says. That's what Jesus said. Believe in your heart and have no doubt, and you can speak to that sickness and say, get out of here. You don't belong here. You must align with the Word, so you must die. Because sickness is dead. Amen? Praise God. Whatever situation it is, whatever circumstance, has to align. And people are going to say, they're going to make you try to doubt. Well, how's that going to work? Well, how's that work? How are you going to do that? That can't be true. Nah. No way. You're crazy. There's no proof for that. You can't prove that. People are going to tell you those things. So where is your faith coming from? What they're saying? If we do that, we're getting out of faith in God. If we believe what people are telling you about whatever it is, and it does not align with the Word of God, it's not from God. Therefore, you can speak to it, and it has to go. Here, no doubt, get out of here. Get out. People with only head knowledge are easily moved. Well, I know the Word says that, but what about this? Where's your faith? Nina and I talk about this a lot. I'm always talking about Jesus, and a lot of times people came to him, and all he said was, by your faith, you're healed. There you go. Why? I looked through some of the circumstances. These people came to him believing with no doubt in their heart. They knew what he could do. They didn't doubt what he could do. And bam, by your faith, you're healed. The centurion, his son or his kid wasn't even there. Lord, just say the word. I know it to be true. I'm a soldier myself. I understand where orders come from, right? I understand. Just say the word, and I know he'll be healed. That is faith without doubting. Without doubting. And what did Jesus say? By your faith. To the woman who needed to touch the hem of his garment. What if he felt the power flow out of him? Who touched me? Who touched me? You're healed by your faith. A connection between what the Word says and a believing in your heart with no doubt, then move mountains. Amen? Then move mountains. People that just have this knowledge, and I'm sure some of us know those people that can spout off the Word like this, but then always have these problems. And are always looking for the next, what new drug came out now? Or, there's a new self-help book? Oh, I better get that. Oh, man, you know, this person had a great this and this and this and this. The Word already says it. The Word already gives it to you. Jesus said, it's already done. What do we have to do? What do we always say in church? Believe and receive. But Jesus says in Mark, believe in your heart and don't doubt. You ever heard the story of the disciples who were trying to cast out this demon and they couldn't do it? What did Jesus tell them? Ye of little faith. He didn't say that it was too big for them. He didn't say, you need to be, a fourth-year doctorate degree person to do this. No, all he said was, ye of little faith, which means what? They could have, but here they knew what they could do, but here maybe they had a little bit of doubt. Now, I'm just speculating, but if the disciples could heal people, and there are accounts of that, at the temple, I don't have any gold. Well, I'll give you what I do have. And then from there, boom, healed. So they knew it because they knew what they had. They connected the dots. You see, they connected the line between the head and the heart. And then what flew out from them was the power that God had already said you had and that you can do, which means you're healed. By your faith, you're healed. By our faith, we're healed, no doubt. Here and here, boom. Let's turn to and stay in Psalms and let's go to chapter 112. People, if we just have head knowledge and are not connecting the dots here between the head and the heart, all we're going to be doing is always moving without faith. To the next thing, to the next thing, to a new church, to this place, to this new book, to this and this over here, to this and this over here. Until we start to understand that we already know the word of what God says. And if we don't know the word, then study the word. So that you know what God says about your situations. And so then you can believe without doubting and move the mountain. Amen. In Psalms chapter 112. In verse 1 it says, "Praise the Lord, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed." Why? Verse 1 says it. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, which means they have respect and reverence for what the Lord says, and they believe it in their heart and obey the commands. Then their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. If we move then to verse 7 and 8, it says this. These people right here, those who fear the Lord and those who delight in obeying the commands, then verse 7 says, they do not fear bad news. They are, and they confidently, verse 7, they do not fear bad news. So I'm not saying, the Bible is not saying that bad news isn't going to come. Bad news is going to come. But it's saying that they do not fear bad news. If that's you, say, I do not fear bad news. They confidently trust in the Lord to care for them. They confidently connect the dots. I know what the Lord says about this, and I trust the Lord, and I believe the Lord with all my heart. And because of that, I do not fear bad news. And because of that, I am confident where I am, no matter what comes at me. Verse 8 says, they are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. Amen. And that's where it goes, to say that you are victorious. You are victorious through Christ. You are overcomers. Because whatever comes at you doesn't have to be there according to the word. Whatever comes at you, you don't have to fear it. You don't have to talk about it. You just speak to it. Say, no, the word says this. You're not of the word. You need to align with the word. Get up and go into the sea. As Christians, as believers, the word tells us we should not be moved by our circumstances. We should refuse to be moved off of the word in any situation. It's not a matter if will the word work. It's a matter of, will I be moved off of the word? You see? I'd like to think of that. When I was reading this scripture from Psalms, and I can't, you know, this phrase came up to me. I was thinking of jousting. Anybody know what jousting is? Jousting, I don't know, jousting. Not like the old school, like horses jousting, but like you sit on a platform. I always think of the old school show, American Gladiators. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Some of you do, right? But you said there's two platforms. They have these two little sticks, right? These two little things. They have pads on it, and they start to hit each other off, right? All right? So I'm thinking that my stool is the Word of God. My stool is the Word of God, and my stick is the Word of God, right? Will that situation move me? Will I be moved off that because I'm afraid of it? Will I be moved off of the word because it scares me? Maybe that gladiator is bigger than me, David Goliath? Right? Is this situation more than I can handle? It all might be. But are you going to let it move you to the point that you get off track with the Word of God? Are you believing in your heart, or are you just declaring what you know? There's a difference. You can declare what you know here. I know some people say the world is flat. Are we believing that? See, there's a difference. Right? I know that the Word of God says that He's my comforter, that He's my provider, that He will provide. If I give, He will give back, right? If I pray and I ask in His name, I can have that. Do we just declare that just because we know it to be true? Or do you make the knowledge go from here to here and believe it and go forth in that? When I was younger, I watched this movie called Ghostbusters. Now I know this, bear with me. It's just a movie, all right? I don't know if anybody's seen it, that's okay. That's all right. But at the end, they had to cross the streams. All right? They had these little things that would grab ghosts and they would, you know, take them and move them in somewhere else, right? Okay? But they had more power when they crossed the streams. You see what I'm saying? So my head knowledge is a stream. My heart belief is a stream. And when we cross the streams, we have more power. There's more power when we use what God has given to us. The knowledge of the Word, the belief of the Word, and when we combine all of that, you're believing in your heart, and you know it to be true. Now, speak to the mountain and make it move. Amen? Amen. The Word tells us all these things. The world tells us that knowledge is power, but I think the Word tells us that knowledge plus faith is more powerful. Amen? Amen? So the question I'm going to ask you when you leave, let's all stand, and we'll close, is this. This week, and as you go forth today, from today, the question I pose is from Psalms 112. Why are we discouraged? Why are you depressed? Why are you here? Why are you this? Why are you that? Why am I declaring to myself what the Word tells you you're not? Amen? We, as believers, need to know what the Word says, declare what you believe about the Word, and when that happens, believers, when that happens, followers of Christ, when that happens, disciples of Christ, when we know and we believe, there, the power of God is in you to be let out of you. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning, and we thank you for your Word. We thank you for what it tells us. Father, we thank you for the opportunities that we have to show our faith to make it complete and to make it whole, not just by saying, but also by doing. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray, I know in your word, it says that we can ask and we can receive. We can knock and the door will be open. We can seek you and we'll find you. That's what your word says. Father, we believe right now that we believe your word, not only in our head, but in our hearts. And that when we ask, we will receive. When we knock, it will be open and you'll be there. Let's just say something to yourselves. Let's just declare it out right now from your mouth. Tell your body to align. And tell your mind to connect with your heart. Let's this day make the commitment to not just know what the word says, but to also believe what the word says. And put that knowing and put that belief into our actions. Because then there the power is. The power that God has put into you when you first believed. When we first believe. Father, I pray blessings over these people. Father, I ask that you send angels to guide them. You send the Holy Spirit to protect angels to guide them and protect them. Thank you, Jesus. And that as we go forward and as you act on your faith, as we connect our head and our heart, people, the testimonies in your life can explode, can grow. The power of God working through you as the word says it can be such an eye-opener for other people when we just connect our head to our heart and let the power of God flow out. Let the love of God flow out. I pray blessings and opportunities to arise, and that I pray that you connect your head with your heart and take advantage of those opportunities to let the power and the love of God flow out of you. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Have a good week. Have a blessed week. Have a prosperous week. Have a connected week. Have a healed week. Because we believe it. And because we believe it, we can receive it. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Remember, we have Spanish service tonight, youth group tonight, prayer this week.